Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
And now, back to a man who didn't let being named one of the 100 most important radio talk show hosts in America go to his head.
Woo! Woo! Yes! In your face!
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 After. I'm Jim Blasingame, and I'm glad you're here. I'm glad Alan Friedman's here, too, because we're going to have some fun with him in just a minute. Before that, we go there, though, I'd like to remind you that my website is www.jbsba.com, and I'd like to encourage you to subscribe to my free newsletter when you get there, and I think you'll like it. And if you don't, it's easier to unsubscribe than it is to subscribe, and we let you do all that yourself. Right there at jbsba.com. Don't forget all the other things, the thousands of archives, the hundreds of articles, maybe thousands of articles. I haven't counted them lately. Lots of stuff there that you can find that I think will help you. It's if you're a small business owner or want to be, or if you're a small business employee, or if you're a small business customer, I think you'll find some stuff there that will benefit you, and I encourage you to check it out. Alan Friedman is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. He's the author and the publisher of Computer Desktop Encyclopedia, one of the most outstanding resources about information technology that I have ever seen before. He's our good friend. Alan Friedman, welcome back to the show.
Always a pleasure, Jim.
It's good to have you back. Alan, guess what happened on this day in 1879?
Oh, really? What?
Thomas Edison invented the electric incandescent lamp.
Is that a fact?
Now, think about that.
That is something.
You know, if I had to ask you what was the greatest invention of mankind, what would you say?
Well, you see, I'm prejudiced.
But, yeah?
It all depends on your point of view. I mean, in my industry, I think the transistor was.
Yeah?
And then, of course, the chip. The chip
yeah.
is still the underlying foundation of everything everybody does, and they have sort of taken it for granted and don't realize that billions of them, literally billions and billions, are being made every year.
Yeah. You know what my favorite, my best invention is?
What?
Gutenberg's printing press. You know why?
Why?
Because none of your transistors happen unless people start reading.
Well, that's true.
And prior to Gutenberg, the world was illiterate, basically. After Gutenberg, the world became literate. There was no constituency for anything to read before him because there was nothing to read.
Right.
And so from that, our intellectual property journey basically launched at that moment, at that year, which was sometime in the 15th century, middle of the 15th century. Anyway, I just thought you'd get a kick out of the knowing that this was the day that the electric incandescent lamp was invented by Thomas Edison. The first one lasted 13 and a half hours. And here's the bad news. 3 years later, they still only lasted about 13 and a half hours. What's up with that? I don't understand it. Do you?
I don't know.
what's new in the world of information technology, Alan?
Well, I'll tell you what I'm doing. I'm using a new browser. I have been for the past couple of months.
What?
A new internet browser, right? Web browser.
Yeah. You mean like Internet Explorer or
like
Netscape?
Internet Explorer, but not
or
Internet
Netscape.
Explorer. In fact, it's the hottest new browser on the market, and it's free, and it's really a successor to Netscape.
Huh.
It's called Firefox, and it is excellent, and it is well worth
Firefox.
Downloading and running it and using it, and it's got a lot more features, and it's not being hacked to death like IE, like Internet Explorer is.
Wow. When you say hacked to death, what do you mean by that?
Well, everybody's out after Microsoft. All the hackers are trying to find vulnerabilities.
Yeah.
In anything that has to do with Microsoft software, and the Internet Explorer browser is one of the main targets. So
mm-hmm.
if you're using Internet Explorer on a day-to-day basis, you have more potential for problems.
And what's the name of it again?
It's called Firefox, and it's from the Mozilla organization. Mozilla.
I've heard of those guys.
Yeah, well, you know what Mozilla stands for? Do you remember what the name of the first browser was on the web, the one that actually caused the web to explode?
Most people don't even I don't know think about so.
It was called Mosaic.
No, I don't remember that.
And Mosaic was actually the first graphical browser, and that caused the web to go haywire. And people said, hey, we can get graphics, and we can link from here to there. And Mosaic essentially put the web on the map, and Netscape came out and said, we're going to make a Mozilla killer, and they created a code name for their browser called Mozilla.
Wow.
And that turned into an open source consortium that led to the Mozilla browser and now to the Mozilla Firefox browser. So you can go to Mozilla, mozilla.org.
.org.
And download it. Yeah, let me next double check.
How does it compare to Netscape? Now, is Netscape still out there?
Yeah, Netscape is still out there. It's definitely out there.
Well, hold on to that thought. When we come back, folks, I'm going to get... We're going to get Alan to tell us what else he likes about it, why he likes it so much. And we got some other technology issues to talk about with our good friend Alan Friedman, the author of Computer Desktop Encyclopedia. 2012, stay with us. We'll be right back.
And then the man steps right up to the microphone. And says it lasts just as the time bell rings.
Listen to the wind blow.
We're back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're having more fun than the law allows with our good friend Alan Friedman, the publisher and the author of and the human force behind the outstanding resource that's called Computer Desktop Encyclopedia. Alan, tell us how we can get your encyclopedia.
Well, you can go to computerlanguage.com.
All right, and right now the best way to get it is on a CD, isn't it?
Absolutely, because that's a fabulous interface.
Exactly, and you can get one or you can get a subscription. They come out once a quarter, don't they?
Once a quarter.
So check that out when you get a chance. But also, is your book still out there in some places?
No, the book is now the 2001 copyright. We have no plans for publishing any more books because it's just impossible to keep up to date.
So, folks, it's now become an incredible collector's item. If you find one, snap it up.
I think so.
Because that book is going to be worth, in 100 years, that book's going to be worth 30, 40 cents at least.
At least.
Hey, Alan, we're talking about this browser, Firefox. Yeah. And that, the way I'm going to remember it, folks, is some of you may know of this phosphoric, I think it's a phenomenon in the Appalachian Mountains called foxfire. And so that's how I'm going to remember this, is Firefox. It's the reverse of that, right?
That's right.
Firefox, no, it's Mozilla.org, right?
Mozilla.mozilla.
Two L's, .org.
Right.
And you can go there and download it, and of course you got to do it from somebody else's browser to do this. So,
that's right.
I mean, so IE is not to prevent you from going there, are they?
Not at all. But it's a phenomenal product. In fact, there's more publicity on this browser than I think since Mosaic, frankly.
Well, obviously, I don't get out much because I didn't know about it. But tell me what it is that you like about it.
Well, there's just so many features. One of the things is called tabbed browsing. If you're on a page, instead of having, let's suppose you want to keep that page and want to go to another page, instead of opening up a whole new window, you just press Control-T. Or click a button, and it takes the window you have and puts it behind the scenes as a tab across the top.
I like that, because, see, I do that all. In fact, I just did it.
Open up a new window.
Yeah, I had to open up a new window.
Oh, you're doing that all the time. I have four or five.
I do it all the time.
Absolutely. It's a phenomenal feature. Plus, another concept which is great is the idea of add-ons called extensions. There are a couple of hundred already.
Huh.
That people have developed, that there's gesture recognition, for example. I can back and forth by just moving the mouse and clicking the mouse a certain way.
What's this going to do? See, this was the big deal that Microsoft was sued over was embedding the browser into their operating system.
Right.
See, this is what you've just described is exactly what I told people about during that whole trial. And that is that the government doesn't have to get involved. Technology will cure any ills. The marketplace will cure its own ills. And you just described that's what this software, this new browser is doing. It's for free. According to you, it's a better product than IE. It's more secure for, if nothing else. But it's certainly another alternative.
It's a very serious alternative. In fact, the reason is it's been multiple generations of browser development. So by this time, I think they've got it down. You can enhance and enlarge the text if you can't see something very well, and it's automatically built in. And there's so many features I can't even begin to tell you all.
So what's their business model? If it's free, what's the business model?
It's free. It's open source. You know, it's devoted people developing something who love to do it, and that's what the open source community is all about.
The invisible hand of the information technology industry, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
How about that?
Yeah, and it's great.
There are no pop-ups, no banners, or anything like that.
Well, it stops pop-ups. It has built-in pop-up stopping, and it's absolutely worth a try. In fact, Walt Mossberg of the Wall Street Journal says, "I suggest dumping Microsoft's IE." And he's got a tremendous influence. He just said that a couple of months ago.
Who said that?
Walt Mossberg.
Oh yeah.
He writes the column.
Yeah, I know Walt. Yeah, I know who you're talking about. Mm-hmm.
And I love it. It's excellent.
How about that?
Yep.
All right. Well, what else?
What else?
Wait, are there any other products that come along with the with that? Or is there any email or anything like that?
They do have an email. They have a product, which I don't use because I use Eudora. They have a Thunderbird.
I use Eudora, too.
Well, you know, you're doing something very good because most people, the attackers take the address books out of Outlook.
That's
and
right.
Create all of this mess.
I have never used Outlook in my life.
It's a tragedy. You know, I keep recommending to people to switch to another email client. And, of course, once you're used to something, you know, it's the most difficult thing in the world is to change.
Well, see, the reason that I used Eudora, I didn't do it because I was so smart in the beginning. I kept it because I was smart. But in the beginning, I used it because they offered a professional level. And that was when I was starting doing my newsletter 5 years ago. Mm-hmm. And they offered a professional level that gave me some capability that Outlook didn't have.
Right.
And so I nosed around and found it, and I said, okay, that's what I want. Well, about 6 months later, I found out that I was less likely to be in danger from viruses and everything because I was using Eudora.
That's right. And you're not going to be spreading them more than anything else. Not so much affecting you, but affecting everybody else.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So that's a good thing. I have not used the Thunderbird client. Thunderbird is the name of the Mozilla email program.
Right. But they got blogs in there. What's next? IM from Mozilla? Who knows, folks?
Very possible.
It's an exciting world out there, folks. Wake up and smell the coffee. Tintail, stay with us. We'll be right back with our good friend Alan Friedman. Sorry, we're back. I like that song. I just get caught up with that thing. Alan, you like that song? That's Foreigner. That's from about 1982, something like that?
I think so.
Yeah, Urgent. Foreigner. I kind of got lost there for a minute, Alan. Alan Friedman, ladies and gentlemen, is with us. He's our good friend and our guest, the publisher and the author and the force behind Computer Desktop Encyclopedia at computerlanguage.com, right?
That is correct.
That's how they can find it, and you can find Alan all over my website, folks. If you want to go into our search engine or go into our Brain Trust a link there on the left and find his name in the alphabetical listing, you can find all the things that we've done with Alan there, the archives, the articles, and you can link to him if you're already on my site. You forget his website, you can find him on our site. You can find out how to link over to him from there, Alan. I want to talk about IM for a second.
Mm-hmm.
Instant messaging. I resisted instant messaging for a long time. And one of the reasons, it was probably a dinosaur moment for me when I was doing that. Because I knew people who were IMing, And it almost seemed like it was taking over their life. Every time they turned around, they had somebody was, you know, somebody had something to say. They were shooting them this little note. And it's almost like they couldn't carry on a conversation on the phone without you know, noticing their IM. And so I resisted for a long time. And then my network started using it. And I started using it with them. And it's been very handy for me doing my show. And then my son was in Iraq, and he had IM availability sometimes. Mm-hmm. And, of course, you know, when he got it, you know how I did. I got it.
Absolutely.
And then I found out about a month before he left over there, I found out that somebody stuck a webcam up there. And I hadn't even paid attention to what all the capability that was on IM, on the instant messaging. By the way, I use Yahoo. I just happen to use it. That's just what I started using. And I don't know if it's better than the others. But anyway, I found out you can webcam. You can watch your you can look at each other over IM. I didn't know that. I was a dinosaur. I didn't know. And so he gets a webcam. Well, you know what I did? Right. Hadn't seen my son in 8 months. I went out and got a webcam.
Great.
And we got to talk to each other and look at each other. And buddy, boy howdy, I'm telling you, that was a great day. And all I'm getting at is, folks, I just wanted Alan to tell you that little story and my evolution of getting on IM. I still use it as a tool. I don't visit on it. I don't chat around on it. It's strictly a tool.
Well, it's getting to be hard to know what the difference between instant messaging and email is, because instant messaging has offline instant messaging, and that wasn't the idea in the first place. If somebody is not on their computer, you can instant message them, and they'll get it when they log on.
Yep,
but guess,
that's right.
Guess what's, do you know what SPIM is?
No. Now you're embarrassing me. You keep coming up with these things I haven't heard
well,
of.
Well, I hate to tell you, but SPIM is spam for instant messaging.
Oh, no.
Yes, they've actually managed to do
oh,
that.
Oh, no, you're ruining my day.
I know. It was almost spam-free, and now it's slowly but surely isn't going to be. Well, what can I tell you?
I haven't
There's a will, there's a way, huh?
I haven't been spun yet.
You haven't been spimmed.
Yeah, or is it? Okay, I always say these things wrong. I haven't been spun. I think Mrs. Moore, my English teacher, would say spun. But anyway.
Spum? Well, believe me, if we haven't been spummed, we will be spun. Spun.
Yeah.
Well, we'll be spun,
okay.
Spimmed, and spammed.
Anyway,
me.
Wow.
Yeah, it's pretty sad.
Well, then somebody's got to get out there and create a blocker for that, or a spam blocker
right,
for that.
Right, we'll
a spin blocker.
That's right. When I have 150
wow.
spin blockers for all your instant messaging programs.
And I'm not sure, but I think somebody tried to send me an attachment over IM the other day. Is that possible?
I mean, there's hardly any difference. It's becoming almost email. And as more spam is drowning out email, instant messaging has become even more popular.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So that might be something.
By the way, you know, you can get an email, an IM program that will access all the other, the major IM, like AOL and Yahoo.
Cross-platform.
Yeah, cross-platform IM. There's a ton of those out there. So or you can have all the instant messaging clients in your computer. Already.
Right.
Most people do.
It's a new world, ladies and gentlemen. It's the 21st century. I hope you're part of it. And I'm trying my best to be. And Alan Friedman helps me do that. Alan, thank you. Good job today. Give us your website one more time.
Computerlanguage.com, Jim.
It's outstanding. It'll take your breath away, folks. Be sure to go there. Thanks, Alan.
Thank you.
Say hi to Irma.
Pleasure.
See you later.
I will.
Go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. And you know, this program is for you. I'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.